Right, Proverbs. We can still stand. We haven't read our text yet. All right. I know. I kind of. I kind of did things a little bit different, though, didn't I? And so, yeah, but pay attention. Look at Proverbs chapter 1. We're going to go Proverbs chapter 1. We're going to read verses 1 through 9 responsively. I'll read the first verse. We'll all read the second verse together and so on. Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. The Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice and judgment and equity, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and will increase learning, and a man of understanding shall attain unto wise counsel. To understand a proverb and the interpretation, the words of the wise and their dark sayings. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck. You may be seated. Now, tonight I want to start a study on the book of Proverbs. It is one of the wisdom books that is found in this divine library we call the Bible, along with the books of Job, Psalms, Ecclesiastes, and the Song of Solomon. This book is about godly wisdom, how to get it, and how to use it. It is not a book on how to make a living, though it does contain some financial principles. But its primary goal is the instruction on how to make a life. Now, wisdom is a major theme of Proverbs, and the words wise and wisdom are used at least 125 times. This book is designed to help us to acquire and apply God's wisdom to the decisions and activities in life. In the book of James, a statement is made, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And to those who are unfamiliar with the book of Proverbs, God may very well show you what you have need of right here in this book's 31 chapters. Wisdom is more than good advice. It means you can be skillful and successful in life because you follow God's principles contained in his word. Now, biblical wisdom has little, if any, relationship to a person's IQ or their level of education, because it is a matter of moral and spiritual understanding. It has to do with character. It has to do with values. And it looks at life through God's revealed truth. Wisdom is very practical. It gives order and purpose to life. It gives discernment in making decisions. And when we apply it in our lives, things will work out for us and not against us. People with wisdom have the skill to face life honestly and courageously as they live life by biblical principles. Now, the very first verse of Proverbs lets us know that King Solomon is the human author of this book. And God gave Solomon great wisdom when Solomon prayed this in 1 Kings chapter 3, verse 7 through 12. He says, "And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father. And I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in. And thy servant is in the midst of thy people, which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad, for who is able to judge this thy so great a people?" And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, "Because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thy enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee. Now we are told in 1 Kings chapter 4, verse 32, that Solomon spoke 3,000 proverbs, most of which are not included in this book. Yet the Holy Spirit selected only those proverbs that were already settled in heaven that we as the people of God should understand and put into practice and obey. Other godly men that were guided by the Holy Spirit were also involved as contributing human penmen in the book of Proverbs. We read this in Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 1. The words of Agar, the son of Jacob, even the prophecy the man spake unto Ithiel, even unto Ithiel and Uchal. Now we have Proverbs, and then you have these Proverbs of Solomon, then you have these other Proverbs from this guy. So these would be adverbs. Tis sad but true that Solomon began his reign as a man of wisdom, but died practicing folly and idolatry, all because he did not obey the precepts found in the book that God used him to write. Now Solomon was the son of David, and his mother was Bathsheba. Now he grew up in a home of Israel's greatest king. By the time Solomon was born, David had been forgiven of adultery and murder and was once again living for the Lord. Now his mother came from a God-fearing family whose sinful act with David was blotted out, and she was restored in her relationship with the Lord. And by the time Solomon came along, she was living a virtuous life, and she along with King David would pass on to their son plenty of wise counsel. Now Solomon was blessed by the example of godly parents. He had a keen intellect. He had a teachable spirit. And at a young age, he had a hunger for the things of God. His parents stressed the importance of wisdom and to receive its instruction. Time and time again, you find out that Solomon is passing on that desire for wisdom to his son Rehoboam. Now the word Proverbs comes from the Hebrew word which means to rule. Therefore the words and sayings found in this book are to rule and govern our life. Now this book is much more than a collection of ancient sayings passed down from generation to generation. Folks, they are God's rules that we ought to be living by. Every society has its share of proverbs or clever sayings, such as nothing ventured, nothing gained. Look before you leap. Early to bed, early to rise makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise. And then there's the proverb, when you want a drink of milk, you don't buy the whole cow. And to the timid, the saying is, the cat would eat fish, but she doesn't want to get her feet wet. You cat lovers understand that. The proverbs found in the Bible, however, are far more important, for its truth comes from heaven and it is given to benefit men. The book is inspired. It is part of God's divine revelation, and as such, it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. Now these inspired words teach us about God, about man, sin, creation, child rearing, work, faithfulness, and a host of other topics. It denounces lying, dishonesty, pride, sexual sins, drinking, laziness, and a whole lot more. Now there are 31 chapters, and one would do themselves well by reading one of those chapters each and every day. For its wisdom is worth more than all earthly treasures. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 13 through 15 tell us this. Happy is the man. What is happy? Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all things that thou canst desire are not to be, what? Compared unto her. Now, Proverbs, they're both brief and practical, so they're easy to memorize, recall, and to share with others. Now, the truth of Proverbs are not grouped together by subjects most of the time. And so when we read it daily, we will be challenged in many areas. Now, if one is looking for a key verse in the Bible, or not in the Bible, but in the book of Proverbs, verse 7 would be a good one. For it tells us, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. That would be chapter 1 and verse 7. And then there's Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10, where the same truth is explained, but in a different way. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Now, there are at least 18 references to the fear of the Lord in the book of Proverbs. And the phrase means to respect who God is, to listen carefully to what he has to say, to obey his word, because knowing our disobedience displeases him and invites his chastening hand upon us, which is not a happy or joyous thing. But these things are written so they can be profitable to us. Now, Solomon explains why the book of Proverbs was written and what its objectives are. In verse 2, it was for us to, first of all, know wisdom and instruction. Now, the book of Proverbs contains 6 different words for wisdom. Now, the one used here is the same one used for the people who were given the necessary skill to make the high priest's garments and were given the ability and the talent to build the tabernacle and its furniture. This type of wisdom is mentioned in Exodus chapter 31, verse 1 through 11. There we read, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, See, I have called by name Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. And I have filled him with the Spirit of God in wisdom and in understanding and in knowledge and all manner of workmanship, to devise cunning works, to work in brass and in silver and in brass, or work in gold and silver and in brass, and in cutting of stones to set them, and in the carving of timber to work in all manner of workmanship. And I, behold, I have given with him Aholiab, the son of Ahishamach, of the tribe of Dan, and in the hearts of all them that are wise-hearted I have put wisdom, that they may make all that I have commanded thee, the tabernacle of the congregation, the ark of the testimony, and the mercy seat that is thereupon, and all the furniture of the tabernacle, and the table and its furniture, and the pure candlestick with all its furniture, and the altar of incense, and the altar of burnt offerings with all his furniture, and the laver in his foot, and the cloths of service, and the holy garments for Aaron the priest, and the garments of his sons to minister in the priest's office, and the anointing oil and sweet incense for the holy place, according to all that I have commanded thee, shall they do." So here we see they were given wisdom. They were given skill to do as God told them to do. And you know what? That's what the book of Proverbs is. He wants us to have wisdom. He wants us to gain understanding so we would pattern our lives after what he has told us in this book. So this book was given to us by God through Solomon, and this book ought to give us skill and ability to make the right choices in the practical affairs of life. It also instructs, and the word instruction means admonition or discipline, such as a parent's correction of a child that results in the building of godly character. If these two objectives of the book of Proverbs are to be met, we better be able to receive its truth and then be disciplined enough to make the necessary changes in our life. We ought to be as we read this book and go through this book, we ought to have our lives come in line with what is written in the book of Proverbs. We have plenty of believers who happen to be characters. But you know what? Few have godly character. And the book of Proverbs gives one wisdom and instruction so that we can develop godly character. Now Solomon finishes verse 2 with, to perceive the words of understanding. Understanding means to grasp the truth with insight and discernment. Now many are able to do that when the truth is, when truth is staring them in the face, because they find that truth not to their liking. Such as wives being in subjection to their husbands. You know, I remember two women telling me, and it always cracks me up. I remember one woman telling me, she said, you know what? She says, the reason I'm not in subjection to my husband is I'm more spiritual than him. She told me that. And I looked at her, I said, if you were all that spiritual that you think you are, then you'd be in subjection to him, because you know what? That's what the scriptures say. And you know what? If you're not scriptural, you're not spiritual. I don't think she cared for what I had to say. Then the other one said, the reason I'm in charge of my house is I'm smarter than my husband. And I didn't doubt her, but I said, you can't be that smart. You married him. Now listen, you marry who you're, if you're a woman and you get married, you're supposed to be in subjection to your husband. If you can't do it, don't marry the guy. Do both of you a favor. How about the truth on tithing? That always goes over well. Our love in Christ preeminently, even more than family. How about dying to self, not regarding sin in your heart, or not being spirit-filled? How about those things? When we do not understand, we still need to receive the instruction of wisdom according to verse 3. And we need to realize what is written in Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9, and do away with such thinking. Hey, well, that's not what I was taught when I was growing up. You know, it doesn't matter what you were taught when you were growing up. It matters what God has for us in His Word. Notice what those two verses say in Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. So as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. And so whose thoughts should we embrace? Whose ways are we to embrace? If we're wise and we have understanding, we're going to go with what God said. I hope you realize God never asked you what you think is right. He tells us what is right. And we are wise to receive the instruction He gives in all matters, including justice and judgment and equity. If we don't receive the instructions of wisdom, we will not be just in our decisions. Our judgment will be faulty, and we will not be fair or impartial in our dealings with others. This book and its inspired Proverbs will give us subtlety. It says it gives subtlety to the simple, according to verse 4, as well as to the young man, knowledge and discretion. Now, the word subtlety here means prudence or clever insight. It is the ability to make good choices and navigate life wisely. Simple describes one who is so gullible that they believe everything they are told. Now, Eve was quite gullible, even in her innocence. And she was no match for that lion split-tongued devil in the garden. Yes, he was diabolical. Yes, he was cunning. But Eve had one weapon the devil feared, and that was the word of God. And had she replied to the devil with, "Thus saith the Lord," she would have been victorious. The Lord wants to put the same sharp, two-edged sword of his into the hands of the simple. And the book of Proverbs will equip the simple in resisting the evil one. Now, knowledge has to do with knowing facts and understanding God's truth. It refers to learning what is right morally and spiritually. Then discretion is the ability to devise wise plans after understanding a matter. Now, a young believer should immerse themselves in the book of Proverbs, for they can benefit greatly from it. But guess what? So can the wise. Notice what it says in verse 5. A wise man will what? Hear and what? Increase learning. And a man of understanding shall what? Attain unto wise counsel. Now, the word hear means to listen intently, to absorb the meaning, and to obey. The wisdom being taught. Learning means to lay hold of, to grasp, acquire wise counsel. And it ought to move and guide one in the right direction. Apollos is a New Testament example of such a man that verse 5 describes. How many have ever read about Apollos in the New Testament? Okay. Now, Apollos, he was well-versed in the scripture, as well as a very gifted preacher. Yet he was still teachable. You know, he was not some know-it-all. He didn't say to Aquila and Priscilla, you know what, you don't have nothing to teach me. You know what, you're just laymen. I know it all. I know what the scriptures say. You know, when he came to Corinth, the Bible says all he knew was that of John the Baptist's baptism. You know what that means? That means he didn't know of Calvary. He didn't know of the resurrection of Christ or the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. So Aquila and Priscilla, Aprila, we'll just pronounce them together. They're a couple anyways. Expounded unto him the... How many like that? Yeah, that's just... Expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly in the areas in which he was lacking. Now, the message he preached was not inaccurate. It simply was incomplete. He would have known the promises of Calvary and the coming of the Holy Spirit. He would not know that those things had been fulfilled, and yet they were. You know, often believers are not teachable. And what a crying shame that is. You know, they dig their heels in, even when their beliefs are wrong. They seem to have the belief that they don't want to be confused with biblical facts because their mind is made up. You know, I've had a believer one time tell me such things as, I remember him telling me, he says, you know, I pray one time for something and that's it. If God wants me to have it, then I'll have it. If not, fine. I said, well, that's not what the Bible teaches. He says, yes, it is. I said, no, it's not. I said, did you ever read the story about the friend at midnight came knocking on the door? And the guy says, hey, go away. You know, my family and I are sleeping. He said, you know what? I ain't going away. I got a friend to come to me. He's got a need. I need some loaves of bread. I got to have something to feed him. So he keeps on knocking. Guy's still yelling, get out of here. My family and I are in bed. Go home. It's midnight. You don't want a friend at midnight. Right? But he keeps on knocking. Keeps on screaming at the guy, I need three loaves of bread. You know, by the time the guy got up, he gave him what? Three loaves of bread. And if he would have asked for peanut butter and jelly or ham to put on that bread, you know, he was Jewish. It would have probably been roast beef. But he would have got anything he needed, don't you think? And then did not Jesus talk about the widow woman and the unjust judge? And she went and told the judge, hey, you know what? I'm here. I want you to avenge me of my adversary. He says, man, you know what? I'm busy. I ain't got time for you. And she kept hounding him and kept hounding him. Avenge me of my adversary. And finally he said, you know what? Enough of her. I'm going to give her what she wants just to shut her up. And you know what? When you read that verse, ask, seek, and knock. That's in with the importunate friend. It means keep on asking, keep on seeking, keep on knocking. And did not Jesus pray three times in the garden? Father, not my will, but thine be done. And did not Paul pray for that thorn three times to be removed? You know, and I've used these illustrations, biblical illustrations, trying to convince this guy that, you know what, you need to pray more than once. Sometimes God just wants to see how bad this need you have is. He said, well, I don't care what you say. And so, you know what, people are like that. Their mind is made up. They don't want to be confused with biblical advice and biblical wisdom. You know, I'm always willing to learn. Amen. You know, and there are times I sit under somebody else's preaching and sometimes I give them the hairy eyeball. And I'm like, that ain't right. You know? And you know, it may be just a detail. It doesn't really make a hill of beans. You know, sometimes people mispronounce words or say something that they mean something else. I mean, I've been guilty of that a time or two, right? Sure. You speak as often as a preacher does, you're going to make a mistake. But you know what? There's times when I'm like, huh, I never saw that. Man, that's good. Man, if I had a rubber leg, I'd kick myself. Why didn't I see that? I've read that passage numerous times. I never got that out of there. But I want to be teachable. And even if I make a mistake and you confront me with that mistake, I'm okay with that. I want to be right with the Word of God. I want to be right in the preaching. I want to be right in my living. I don't want to ever come to the place where I think I know it all because I don't. Do we not read this in Psalm 119, 97 through 104? And this is all about being teachable. Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Thou through thy commandments hast made me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients because I keep thy precepts. I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word. I have not departed from thy judgments, for thou hast taught me. What does that mean? That means he was teachable. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. You know, when I first got saved, I was a hot mess. You know, it seemed like everything I'd read in the Bible was contrary to what I was taught. And I had to make up my mind, and I did so, and I'm so glad I did early on in my Christian life, that you know what? God is always going to be right. I'm always going to be wrong. And here's the thing. I lived for 24 years and I made a mess of my life. And I thought to myself, you know what? If God can straighten me out, I better listen to what he has to say. Folks, God is always right. We need to subject ourselves to the authority of the Scripture. A wise man will adopt as their motto, let God be true and every man a liar. Now, according to verse 6, a wise man will understand a proverb and knows what it means, and if it isn't readily apparent, they'll search out the matter until it is. Then we come to the fundamental principle for obtaining wisdom, and that is verse 7, the key verse of this book. And it reads, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Now, Jesus illustrates that truth in the Sermon on the Mount. At the end over there in chapter 7, when he says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, and what? Doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And that is, of course, talking about building your life. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto what? A foolish man. Now notice, both of them heard the same thing. One decided they're going to do it, and the other decided, you know what, I'm not. One happened to be wise, and one happened to be a fool. Because when the rains descended and floods came, the one who built the house upon the sand, that house fell, and great was the fall of it. So it is sheer folly to ignore or dismiss what God has to say. Then the last two verses of our text, we read this. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. For they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains about thy neck. Parents, every one of you should be an instructor to your child in that which is good and right, and how to live for the Lord. You know, Abraham had a tremendous influence over Isaac, and he was a success as a father, for the Lord had this to say about him. For I know him that he will command his children. Huh? Did you see that? What is he going to do? Command. He's not asking. He's telling him. You know, my dad was a great commander. You know, I don't recall him ever asking me to do a thing. He simply told it. He said, this is what you're going to do. And you know what? It was in my best interest to do it. And if I didn't do it, there was pain involved. Because my dad believed if there's no pain, there is no gain. And I gained some wisdom, and I started doing everything he told me to, because that pain sure did not outweigh any disobedience that I had. Then look at the godly mother Jochebed. Now Jochebed, she raised up three godly children, Aaron, Miriam, and Moses. When it came to Moses, all the learning of Egypt could not undo the foundation that she laid in her son's heart at an early age. God always upholds parental authority. And happy is the child who has godly parents and is willing to submit to mom and dad as they instruct them in the way that they should go. The instruction they receive is an ornament of grace under their head. This means that they'll have honor, favor, and beauty from obeying parental instructions. You know, kids, you need to obey mom and dad. That's your obligation. They also gain God's wisdom, and it'll be a chain round about their neck. It is a submissive neck that wears those kinds of chains that come from parents who bring up their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And those children are blessed because they receive that instruction. An obedient child is a joy to behold. So parents, teach your children well, both by precept and example. And children, obey, because it is of a great benefit to you personally. I believe, just in the introduction tonight, there was something we all could have received. The truth, it's been spoken, but it's up to us to receive it. You know, it's not good enough to just fill our head with knowledge. There are things we need to put into practice. We need to make the changes in our lives and be doers of what we heard. I pray we are wise. I pray we hear what God has to say. I pray we learn and we increase our knowledge in the things of God. And I pray that we heed the wise counsel that he has given us, especially in the book of Proverbs. All right, everyone standing, every head bowed, every eye closed.